been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek already edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And we are off to a very good start in the markets here so far. With the Dow up 301 points, and that puts the Dow at 49,834. The NASDAQ is up 251 right now. What got into the NASDAQ all of a sudden? It's up 1.1% to 22,829. What happened to AI Armageddon? Looks like the market was wrong again. S&P 500 up 54 points to 6,897. The Russell 2000 is up 19 points. Interest rates up a little bit right now, up three basis points. But we're clear down at 4.08. We haven't been down there in a while. Gold is up today, up 2.2%. Silver's up 5.3%. Crude oil is up 3.4%. And last but not least, and it has been least recently, Bitcoin. It's up $377 right now to $67,427, a far cry from the $125,000 it was at not too long ago. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Edie wanted me to clear up the Westin Galleria. It's the Westin Oaks Houston at the Galleria.
There's two of them.
Well, I didn't know. Okay.
I didn't know either.
I hope we got the cheaper one. I'm footing the bill there. The Westin Oaks Houston at the Galleria. So don't show up to the other one. There'll probably be there's an annuity seminar going on at the other one.
Yeah, be careful.
That night. Yes, be careful. Don't walk into that trap. Anyways, we've got a very strong day here in the markets so far. I really don't know what's driving it, but we'll take it. The NASDAQ up 250 points right now. That's 1.1%. There is some news out there on a lot of the individual stocks. We got some earnings in last night, which we'll get to, and we've got some more earnings coming in tonight. We still are in earnings season. We had kind of a quiet day in the markets yesterday. Gold and silver really have cooled off, but they are up today, but they've kind of entered into a little bit of a sideways trend right now. Bitcoin continues to be very weak, hovering around the 67,000-68,000 area is where Bitcoin is right now. Palo Alto Networks has reported earnings that happened last night. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Today we're going to get Occidental Petroleum and eBay and Booking.com and DoorDash. We've already got Analog Devices. We'll report on that one, too. That's one of our holdings. Tomorrow we'll get Walmart reporting in and Deere. Nothing runs like a Deere. Newmont Mining, Etsy, and a few others.
Still a few decent ones in the bag.
Yeah, no, there's a few decent ones. Then on Friday we get Anglo Gold, HUD Bay Minerals, Lamar Advertising. Now, here's the biggest story of the day. Hershey faces backlash from the family who invented the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Okay.
I do notice that you know, they get like a whole aisle at Walmart. You know, all the different versions of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
There's a lot of them nowadays. A lot of
yes. Versions. And the family that invented it is not happy. It's the grandson. We're now down to the grandson, Brad Reese, who's the grandson of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup inventor H.B. Reese. He publicly accused Hershey of quietly degrading the candy's core recipe. How can you mess up
done,
peanut butter and chocolate?
Well, they've done that over years, just cheapening the ingredients, making it a little bit smaller all the time. I mean, if you know what a candy bar is nowadays, going through the line, it's like, you know, the kids start throwing stuff up there. It's like, you know, and it's adding an extra $10 nowadays
versus when
you're a kid. It's like, you know, 50 cents maybe, right? I mean, when I was a kid.
Brad Reese claims they've replaced real milk chocolate with cheaper compound coating.
I believe it.
That sounds like something from Sherwin-Williams or something. I don't want that on my peanut butter cup. And they've replaced true peanut butter with peanut butter-style creams. Okay, so there's your big story. I had to get that one out of the way.
we can talk about that for a whole segment.
But that was quite an empire. They sold out to Hershey a long time ago. Now, speaking of combinations, peanut butter, chocolate, la, 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 Eli Lilly is combining their Zepbound with their psoriasis drug, Taltz. So, look, you can lose weight and stop scratching all over and itching all over by taking the combination. And I've noticed they've been doing that. They've been coming up with Zepbound cocktails. But they're reaching very good results containing the weight loss therapy drug Zepbound. And psoriasis therapy, Taltz, and it's reaching its main goals. The stock is down a little bit here today, but lose weight and stop itching. Yeah, you can't beat that all in one dose here. And, of course, we do have some earnings to report here today, which we'll get to.
Had some decent economy news too. I don't know if that. I mean, it's rare that economy news is going to drive the market, and this stuff came out even before the market opened. But I mean, durable goods. Industrial production increased more than expected in January. It was up 0.7% per month, outpaced the consensus was 0.4. So, you know, we've been talking about some of this stuff where I think the economy could potentially surprise on the upside, especially, you know, pessimism-wise. Obviously, you know, 45% when you look at that consumer sentiment survey, 45% are always going to be mad no matter what. But, I mean, industrial production's bumped up. Housing starts and building permits rose in December as well. They rose 6.2%, which is pretty solid when you think about the weather that we've had over the last, you know, couple of months.
Yeah.
And durable goods orders actually fell less than expected. They only declined 1.4%, and the consensus was 2.3. So, like I said, not a lot of that stuff usually doesn't really drive the market completely, but a lot of that's all three of those were good. Good.
Well, something
today.
Got the tech stocks all excited this morning. I know that Meta and NVIDIA are forming a partnership that's lifting both of those stocks. Meta Zuckerberg is appearing before Congress today. Did they put things in there to make social media addicting? We know that the cigarette makers did it. They added things to hook smokers, adding into the nicotine to make it even more addictive. And Zuckerberg will be on the hot seat today. That should be interesting.
I always love the term that's about social media companies, where it's there's only two groups call their customers users, and it's social media companies and drug dealers. So
yes, that's true.
Kind of shows you that
Yeah, I mean, is it harming our children's health, social media, when they stare into, their phone all the time, walking around? They're unaware of the world around them, it would seem. But he does control the most powerful social media platforms in the world. What's he got? He's got Facebook.
Instagram.
Does he have WhatsApp? Is that his?
Yeah, WhatsApp. That's the one that's probably used the most, just communication-wise around the globe, in terms of text and everything on WhatsApp. Yeah, so it's, I mean, he's got his hand, and he's in the metaverse, right? Created the metaverse.
He's in the metaverse, so he's up to his eyeballs in addictions, and we're going to see if it's harming our children. Now, a lot of countries have set an age at 16, and that could be where we're headed here in America.
Isn't it Australia, I think, that has that experiment
Australia
going on? I think Germany may have just done it. Yeah.
Yes. Now, when we come back, I think it's time for an update. 74% of the S&P 500 companies have now reported earnings. Where do we sit? It seems like this Armageddon, AI Armageddon, maybe is passing through, and the market is rebounding here today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, during my 26 years as a professional money manager and analyst, I have found that the very best indicator of all, bar none, are the earnings estimates for the S&P 500 as far as a market indicator goes. And that's why I track it so closely on a weekly basis. Now, we are 74% of the way of, or 74% of the companies have reported for the Q4 2025. That was the last quarter of last year. And those are the reports that are coming in now. 74% of the companies have reported so far, and 74% have reported a positive EPS surprise. And 73% have reported a positive revenue or sales surprise. And right now, the estimated year-over-year earnings growth rate for the S&P 500 is now 13.2%. That's pretty good. That's pretty potent double-digit returns, you know.
And where it was, what do you mean, when you said what the expectation was, right?
7.1 when we started.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
So it's gone up to 13.2. And how many companies have reported 13.2? I can tell you a lot of the soggy stocks have reported 3%, 2% growth. But when you average it all out, the earnings for this quarter right now are on track to hit $73.79 per share. That compares with $65.78 per share during the same quarter last year. Now, let's take it one step further. Let's look ahead 4 quarters from now, because we do have those estimates out there on the street. $83.46. So we're going from an annual run rate of 284 to 300, and next year up in the 320-330 range. And let's not forget, putting it all into perspective, back in 2009, March of 2009 is when the bear market bottomed. That was the financial crisis-induced bear market, when Wall Street had another great idea, not a great idea, to package those mortgages into loans and resell them to the public. And they got the stamp of approval from the ratings agencies as prime loans, and they weren't. And they blew up all over the place, and had it not been
the old was it the Ninja loan? No income, just to prove, right? Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, just to prove. Just anybody, if you could sign on the dotted line, you were approved for the loan, and they would package those things as quickly as they could. They made a buck. They offloaded the risk.
They didn't even have, that's the other thing. Those people, the originators, didn't even, they didn't even hold any of the paper.
No.
They were just, they're just making sausage and selling it to everyone.
And, you know, no longer is Countrywide Financial around. No longer is Lehman Brothers around. No longer is Bear Stearns around.
I remember IAG's problem, right? Didn't they?
Yep.
IAG had a problem.
Merrill Lynch was in a shotgun wedding with Bank of America, and on and on and on. And I remember when Citigroup was like 90 cents per share. General Electric was down around $3 per share.
Yeah.
They had exposure.
They had the GE. They had exposure to loans through their GE. Was it GE Capital? Wasn't that part of one of those part of the conglomerate?
And now here we are. We've gone from $60 in earnings to over $300. Looks like where we're headed. And the S&P 500 obviously has followed those earnings. Indexes and stocks follow earnings. As earnings continue to increase, it's just math. As earnings continue to increase, the market continues to go up. And as earnings for companies continue to increase, they continue to go up as long as the multiplier doesn't get too far ahead of itself. So we're going to have record earnings. We've never had a quarter over the old record was last quarter, $71 per share. We're on track to do 74 right now. Record earnings. And there's another boo-boo by Wall Street. You go back a year ago, and Wall Street said, the tariffs are going to crush the market, going to crush the economy. Barry just went over the economic reports that are coming in that are better than expected. You've got the Dow above 50,000, hitting a new all-time high. The S&P, which was at 4,800 a year ago with that big tariff scare, the market had it wrong again. You could say again and again and again and again. I've seen it over the years. And it gets it wrong on the upside, too, don't forget. If you go back to the year 2000, when the NASDAQ hit 5,300 and it looked like there was no stopping the NASDAQ, and the market was saying it's a new paradigm. Valuations don't matter anymore. P.E. ratios don't matter. We've entered the dot-com era. The market had it wrong on the upside. So it's not good to listen to the market. It's good to observe the market and draw your own conclusions. But the market is a prediction tool, and the way it behaves is the public, the individual investors trying to guess where the market's headed next. And, of course, it's had it wrong most of the time. So I guess the contrarians are the guys that stick to the earnings, ignore the noise. Ignore the headlines. AI Armageddon is the latest one that rocked the market, sent software stocks, many of them down 50%. And we were pretty active buying yesterday. And it depends on the stock. I thought I saw some bottoms being put in on a couple of the very best of the best. And I did move forward and made some purchases yesterday, and I also lowered my exposure to one of our biggest holdings that has done very well. It's up 63% since we bought it. And, yes, we have losers, too. You have to look at the whole portfolio. We're always fair and balanced here. But overall, the portfolios are off to a very good start here in 2026. So that's where we stand with earnings season right now. When we come back, I think we'll begin with one of ours, a chip stock. Let me see how it's behaving so far. It was looking pretty good this morning in the pre-market. Yes, an all-time high. It's up $17.44. It is one of our large holdings here. It's up 5% after a beautiful report this morning. We'll be right back.
I've been on the right trail, but I must choose the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just looking at some of the, it looks like a big day for AI stocks today. So much for AI Armageddon. Palantir is up 5.2% right now. Cameco is up 4%. Rolls Royce, who's been on a roll lately, pardon the pun, it's up 3.5%. And the one I want to talk about here is Analog Devices. It's up 4.5% today, and the stock is hitting a new all-time high after they come in with earnings that beat the street's expectations. So put them in that 74% of companies beating expectations. And 73 beating earnings expectations, 73% beating revenue expectations. It looks to me like Analog has done just that. Analog Devices has a quarter with 51% growth in sales. That's probably the biggest quarter from Analog that I've seen. I can't remember a 51%. Obviously, whatever they make analog mixed signal ICs and amplifiers, attenuators, detectors, diodes, couplers, mixers, and demodulators. And I'm guessing, Barry, that if you picked apart a data center and all the little bits and pieces that go into that data center, I'm going to guess that a lot of those bits and pieces are coming from Analog, which has new life. You know, they kind of make low-tech chips. They're not NVIDIA and they're not AMD, but they're necessary, just like, you know, all these little parts from Western Digital, from Seagate.
MU, yes.
SanDisk. Micron, SanDisk. Yeah. They're all part of the data center build-out.
It's interesting when I look here too. It's like, you know, I think it's got to be that news from Meta and Nvidia that's kind of driving the Nasdaq. Because when you look, it's like almost like the AI trade is back, at least for the moment.
All of a sudden,
I mean, everything I'm looking that we own right now that's up. I mean, you know, you got Palantir's up 5.2%, leading the way, and then you mentioned Nvidia was already up over 2.5%, and you know, getting a little pop back after, you know, some of the
a little bit of a malaise went through the tech sector. The NASDAQ last week in the app, it went from stronghold to a hold. Okay, that's still okay. It is still holding on. It's still got not a death cross, but a golden cross, where the 50's been above the 200-day now for almost a year. And is still holding on to its support levels. You know, it just went through a little bit of a sell-off there, especially in the software stocks, which I think there's going to be some buys arise out of that software sector. We made a couple buys yesterday in stocks that I thought had put in a bottom. And it is going to be stock specific. You know, I'm not going to buy the laggard software stocks just because they're down, the low PE ones. I'm going to buy the best of the best when the sector is down, because usually a sector weakness in a sector will draw down the entire sector. So it only makes sense to go back into the very best. And it doesn't look like Palo Alto. I haven't been in Palo Alto for a long time. I've been in Palo Alto, but not the stock Palo Alto. It's down another 6.5% today, hitting a new 52-week low.
The forward guidance is what hurt it, which everyone's talking about forward guidance, right, for these software stocks. So that's it kind of fed into the narrative a bit, and that's why you're seeing that one. It's interesting. It's like anything data center today, okay, but everything else outside of data center still iffy, right?
Cybersecurity is still, let's just take a look at Crowd. Well, Palantir's having a good day. It's cyber.
No, yeah, they're great, yeah. But
CrowdStrike is pretty dull right now. The other one, Cloudflare, Net, it's just soft today. So Palo Alto's not inspiring that group at all. And don't forget, you know, there's a subset within software. You've got Adobe is a much different company than Palo Alto is, and Palo Alto is a lot different from Palantir. They all have their own little spot, and some of them obviously have a lot more exposure to AI than others, and some of them tend to be a little bit more older technology. Those are the ones that are struggling right now. So anyways, that's a great report from Analog. You know, Analog over the last 5 years, like I say, it's kind of a low-tech chip maker, but we use a lot of Analog chips. They're headquartered in Wilmington, Massachusetts, which I'm sure is close to Boston and Harvard and all of the Ivy League schools back there. But Analog has been growing by 5% a year over the last 5 years. I've never really owned it in the past, but I noticed that it was starting to really perk up recently and starting to break out the chart, and I started to redo my valuations, and it all made sense. Everything made sense, and I had to come to the conclusion that whatever kind of chips they make, there's a lot of them.
They were kind of in that tier, like Texas Instruments, right? I mean, they're
low
kind of
tech.
in that, yeah, exactly. They're kind of always in that lower end. They got commoditized at one point, just like the memory folks did. The biggest difference with the memory folks now is there's a big supply-demand mismatch. So now,
and that's the word. There's an important word in the market: demand. You want to own stocks where there's a lot of demand, not only for the stock, but for the product that the company makes. And that was obviously showing up in the stock action, the chart of the stock. And there's one of the benefits of looking at all those charts every day. I know that most people in my industry, the vast majority of them, look at very few charts during a day. And I've just come to the conclusion I get more payback on the time I spend looking at charts than anything else. And that includes reading Barron's, watching CNBC, reading the Wall Street Journal. I get no return on investment there of my time, but I get very handsome returns, or I can get, by knowing where the market is at any given point in time, and I'm willing to put in that work. Does it give me a competitive advantage? I don't know. I'll let you be the judge. I just think the more knowledge that you have,
the better.
Valuation, performance, relative strength, what the company does, where they're positioned in their sector, and that visual look at the chart, I think it's all good. Okay, let's move on here to the next company that's in the news here today after Analog Devices. We mentioned Palo Alto, not one of my favorites, not a good report, down 6% right now. And the others don't look that great either, the other cyber stocks, other than Palantir, which is having a huge day today. Cadence Design Systems. They don't design wedding gowns. They don't design dresses. No, they design semiconductors. And Cadence, last time I looked, let's see how it's doing here today. We don't own it, but we own one of their competitors. Cadence is in San Jose, California, where we watched the Super Bowl on TV here recently, and we'll be going there, I think maybe May, somewhere in that time frame. It looks like Sarasota's going to be next up on our trips after Houston. Give us a few weeks to recover, and then we'll head down. And Sarasota's a good place to recover. That's pretty nice. One of my favorite places.
We should be able to count on the weather at that time of year.
So we'll Cadence is doing pretty well, CDNS. And there you go. You know, the chip sector continues to be the strongest sector in the market. Software, no. Even though they're both in the NASDAQ, they're both in the tech sector, the tech sector has been heavily centered. The action in the tech sector has been heavily centered in those chips. And I've watched the semiconductor sector since the late 90s. And it has been probably, I'm going to guess during my career, the very best sector in the entire market. And even today, February the 18th, 2026, some of these chip stocks that I've been following for 25 years, including Cadence, are still relevant today. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do. Live with whoever you wanna be. You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do. Live with whoever you wanna be.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Workday. That's another one, man. They fell out of favor a long time ago. Workday. We used to have a client that worked for Workday, but there's another one that, whether or not AI is hurting them, I don't know, but Workday is kind of like, it's definitely software as a service kind of company, very much like Salesforce, and Workday is a big player. I mean, they're out there in the Silicon Valley. Let's take a look at Workday's stock here today. That's a horrible chart, just horrible. And it's very indicative of the vast majority of software stocks. This stock has gone from 250 down to 142 over the last 5-6 months, almost cut in half. And, I'm looking at the PE now. It's pretty attractive. You've got a forward PE of about 13 right now, 13x. I could be talked into Workday, but the chart is still in a number 4 downtrend. One is sideways, 2 is up, 3 is topping out, going sideways after a big run-up, and 4 is down. The worst place that you can buy a stock is in a number 4 downtrend. Because you have no idea where that number 4 downtrend, and I don't really see any support here. Just looking back, maybe about where we're at now, maybe a little bit lower. But what I would see, and I'm starting to see just a little bit of it trying to form a bottom. It's got like 4 days. It's had about just 2 months of just bludgeoning, just pounded every day. Tried to put in a bottom a couple times. Every time it failed. Can it put in a technical bottom this time? Well, I'll keep my eye on it. It is cheap. It would qualify for the value, the relative value portfolio. I mean, the quarter wasn't that bad. Their sales were up double digits, 13%. Their earnings were up 23% year over year. That's a lot better than some of the big soggy stocks out there. Workday is now a $38 billion company, but they're definitely they're the epitome of a software as a service, SAA, two little A's and a capital S, and that's kind of been the eye of the hurricane here recently in the NASDAQ. So that's one we'll keep our eye on, but it slides. It gets downgraded. AI worries, okay? Wingstop. Okay, we're going to go a totally different direction here now. I'm not a fan at all. We don't own any fast food stocks. Wing is probably one of the best. And today, it's the fastest growing, one of the fastest growing franchises. Now they have 2,513 chicken wings focused restaurants across 45 states and 12 countries. But not very inspiring. Their earnings were up 9% and their sales were up 9%. So now they've become a high single digit grower. And a P.E. ratio of 62, way too expensive for a high single digit. Now, having said that, they did beat expectations. There's probably a lot of short interest in a stock like this, and the stock is up 15.6% today on six times normal volume. It's just not my – I like Wingstop. I think they have a pretty good product. But I just don't like where they are. I don't like any restaurant or fast food stocks at the current time. I don't think AI is hurting them. I think inflation, you know, whether it's Chipotle, whether it's McDonald's, whether it's Wendy's.
And they're very much tied to chicken prices. So the worry is whenever, you know, you have one of these bird flu things and you got to, you know, cull a bunch of, you got to kill a bunch of chickens, then their costs go up and their, you know, cuts into their margins real fast at Wingstop. If you can
yep,
imagine.
Exactly. So not a fan. Okay. And then Solar Edge, they're probably the best solar stock because they tend to be more of a tech stock. But there's a lot of technology in solar panels and going to the battery or the you know, the power source. I still run my little office. I run it pretty much all on a couple of big solar panels and batteries. That works great for me. Solar Edge is SEDG, S-E-D-G. This will be the last one we'll take a look at here today. I'm not a fan of solar stocks. SEDG is basically a number one sideways stock. Sideways is it's not as bad as number four downtrend, but it's not very exciting either. You're missing out on stocks that are going up and hitting new all-time highs like Analog Devices today, ADI. Okay, we're out of time. Next week, next Wednesday, we'll be meeting with folks at the Houston Oaks Galleria. At the Galleria, the Weston Oaks. Weston Houston Oaks at the Galleria. And then on Thursday. Those are those one-hour meetings. You can check with Edie. I don't know if there's any left, but her number is 855-611-BEST. And a week from today, I'll be teaching a workshop that night, Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
Looking forward to getting over there. It's always a good time seeing all the folks.
Yep, it's our first trip down to Houston since we've been on the airwaves down in that neck of the woods. And to reserve a spot to the workshop, I'm going to teach technical analysis. I'm going to give examples of stocks that meet our criteria right now. I always give a market outlook. You go to GundersonCapital.com or call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And, of course, still offer the four-week trial. The newsletter, I sent out five or six trades yesterday, I believe. We stay busy here. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.